We turn to reading for one of two main reasons, basically, either to be informed or be entertained. Our next guest with his new political action thriller brings both of those reasons together quite factually and quite interesting, too. While you're entertained with an exciting story of political intrigue, you'll take into account his keen awareness and expertise of the political behind-closed-door scenes of how things work, how decisions, both right and wrong, are made, and what their consequences are. This is what's accomplished in his new book, Treason, co-authored by journalist Pete Early and former House Speaker, presidential candidate Newt Gingrich. Speaker Gingrich, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, and it was very exciting to write Treason.
And you've written factual and nonfiction books, but you've also been very successful up until now with, it's called the historical novel genre. Is this your foray now into, I guess we can call this, the current events novel genre?
Yeah, we started it last year when Pete Early and I did a book called Duplicity, in which we had a Somali-American living in Minneapolis who was totally patriotic, running for Congress while his brother was the number two leader of terrorism in Somalia. And we showed the tension in the family, the difficulties, the challenges, it's a great novel. And we came back and we looked at the experience with the Soviets in the 1940s when they had up to 500 people who were agents of influence in the American government. And we said, gosh, what would happen if you had two or three key places occupied by traitors who were secretly in favor of ISIS and al-Qaeda? And Treason grew out of that thinking. And I think it's a very fast-paced, very dynamic book. It gives you, from a novel standpoint, a lot of excitement. At the same time, it teaches you a lot in terms of thinking about how the American government works, how our counterterrorism works, and what the terrorist mindset is.
Yeah, the running theme, really, through Treason is obviously the challenge of the lead character, Major Brooke Grant, but also how political correctness and fighting an enemy, whatever it may be, they just are not supposed to be on the same playing field.
Well, they can't be. I mean, political correctness teaches you to not be accurate in describing your enemy. It teaches you to underestimate how much they're willing to lie and how much they're willing to kill. And we try to communicate. Remember, what we're writing about here, if you were in Israel or Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan or Libya or Somalia or Nigeria or in France, Germany, Belgium, none of this would seem all that startling because all of these countries have direct, active problems with terrorism on a scale that, fortunately, up to now, we've been able to avoid. But we raise the question, sooner or later, the terrorists are going to get better at penetrating the U.S., and when they do, the cost could be very high.
Talking with former House Speaker, presidential candidate Newt Gingrich, his new political thriller novel, Treason, available through your favorite means of obtaining a book. And if you go to GingrichProductions.com, you can find out more about all of Newt Gingrich's writings, as well as Callista, who will be joining us shortly as well, because Ellis the Elephant is back, and that's always a good thing and educational, too. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Do we, as a people, and certainly those in government, make the mistake that a traitor cannot get as far in as they do, as you have them do in Treason?
Well, we make a huge mistake. I mean, one of the things we learned when the Soviet archives came open was that Alger Hiss, who many people had said was not a spy. I mean, many people, in fact, got very angry if you said he was a spy. Well, we learned that Hiss, who was very, very high up in the State Department and actually chaired the conference on the United Nations in San Francisco in 1946, Hiss personally was rewarded by Joseph Stalin in a secret meeting at Yalta where Stalin gave him the highest civilian medal available to anybody in the Soviet Union. So that you could hardly have been much higher. Only the Secretary of State outranked Hiss, and you could argue Hiss actually had more influence. You had a similar thing with Harry Dexter White, who was extraordinarily important at the Treasury Department, set up the International Monetary Fund. So you could imagine, just based on history, two or three people very high up who for one reason or another, become genuinely dedicated to the other team and decide that their greatest ability to help is to stay in place, pretend that they're still pro-American, and actively undermine and sabotage what we're doing.
There's an underlying point, too, which I hope the reader of Treason really understands, is, and we've talked about it here on the show with many people, there are so many front groups that are supposedly the moderate voices and the attempting to be peacemakers between Islam and Christianity, the various other religions, and if you follow their money and their sources, you realize they are really backed by radical Islamist proponents, and you bring that forward in Treason. That's they are literally the wolves in sheep clothing.
Well, and you also learn things. For example, we've learned just recently from these WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton was quite clear that Saudi Arabia and the UAE were major supporters of terrorism. And yet, for example, the Saudis gave $10 million to the last two presidential libraries. They get pictures like their donor photos, to which the Clinton Foundation has gotten millions from the Saudis. So on the one hand, you have these people who are funding terrorism. On the other hand, they turn around and basically pay us money so that we won't notice too carefully how much they're doing to fund terrorism. And I think that's a very major concern for those of us who are worried about American safety.
When you're writing a book like Treason, how far do you want to take the picture? I mean, do you want it to be, because obviously you want the action and the characters to be a magnet to draw people into the novel aspect of a book like Treason, but where is your line as far as how far in the education of the reality of the here and now that you have combined with the story that you create with Major Grant and everything that goes on with her and the people around her?
You know, that's really a great question. I find sometimes I'll read an adventure book and suddenly the author's going to take me off on four or five pages of his own thinking, and frankly, I get irritated by it. I have worked very hard with Pete Early to make sure that both in Duplicity and in Treason, that you have a great read, it's a fast read, you're excited by it, and then as you think about it, you begin to realize what you're learning. But this is not a textbook, this is not a college lecture. This is an effort to entertain you while teaching you things in passing, but not slowing down the story to teach. And I think we do a pretty decent job of setting it up so you learn a lot, but you learn it in the middle of the action. You know, you don't learn it buffering the action with long professorial passages.
And Speaker Gingrich is very successful in doing what he just stated that he does with his new book, Treason, which you can learn more about at gingrichproductions.com. We're talking with former House Speaker, presidential candidate Newt Gingrich here on Issues and Ideas. I would be remiss if not taking advantage of this time, especially with something you've recently written about Donald Trump, about his I guess some would call them his character flaws or weaknesses, and the way he carries himself and his communication skills in particular. Some would counter that by saying, well, you know, that's really reflective of who the American people are right now. We have a lot of angry people in this world, in this country, at what's been happening with our government, and there are tens of millions of people, record number voting in the Republican primaries, who find their voice in Trump's voice right now.
Sure, look, a lot of people who are offended by some of the tapes, I mean, you know, certainly Clifton and I reject some of the things Donald said on tape, and we were glad when he apologized to the country. He should have. But at the same time, we recognize that while our candidate may sometimes have been crude, Hillary is both corrupt and dangerous. And you look at the things we're learning from WikiLeaks, where she goes to Brazil and in a secret speech to Brazilian bankers, for which she got $225,000, she says her dream, the dream is her word, her dream is of an open border for the Western Hemisphere. Well, that would allow 600 million people to enter the U.S., including the MS-13 murdering gang in El Salvador, the drug cartels from Mexico, the cocaine cartels from Colombia. And when you look at that and you think to yourself, that would destroy America as we've known it. You look at the WikiLeaks about the anti-Catholic bigotry of her senior staff, and you think, boy, that tells me a lot about what kind of Supreme Court she would appoint. So I do think when you look at the two candidates together, that if you want to change Washington, if you want to guarantee that America survives, I think Trump is the only plausible candidate.
And if you want a very exciting read based in fact that makes you, will make you think What If Treason is a book that you need to get. And when you go to GingrichProductions.com, you can find out more about Speaker Gingrich's writings, both in novel and in nonfiction. It really is educational and entertaining reads. And Speaker Gingrich, I thank you for your time and your efforts and your work.